Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. Thank you so much for joining us today. The Lord be with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence today, Lord. Lord, we want to always feel your presence, Lord. Lord, we'd love to be able to say with our Lord Jesus, I do always those things I see of my Father. Lord, we would dearly love to feel the anointing of the latter rain. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, possibly when some people see this program, it will have already happened. Oh, praise God. We know we're not far. And we eagerly desire the coming of Jesus in us. He said he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Oh, praise God. Lord, that's just thinking about that, it excites us, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless us with the anointing that you will today, Father, in the name of Jesus, and help us. We need your word, Lord. We need your help. Amen. Well, we've been studying sanctification before blessings. And we've noticed that that God truly wants us sanctified in a couple of ways. From the world and from those Christians who also walk in the world. And we've seen it over and over. One verse I'll renew your mind with a little bit here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, it from 14 through 16, it basically speaks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Did you know sometimes in the Bible unbelievers are what we call Christians? But because Jesus said these signs will accompany them that believe. You know, they'll, in my name, they'll cast out demons and they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and on and on and on. So we're talking about Christians the way Jesus made Christians. You know, not Christians coming out of the dark ages like we got now. So when he says, when he identifies believers, he's talking about spirit-filled people who walk in his steps, you know. That's what we need to desire earnestly. And he talked about no communion with light and darkness or Christ with Belial or a believer with an unbeliever or temple of God with idols. You notice that the children of God actually created idols that they thought were God, you know, like the golden calf, right? But then, you know, in verse 17, oh, in fact, I missed a good verse here. I should go ahead. He said, for I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will dwell in them and walk in them. That's what Christianity is all about, right? It's not us. It's about him. Wherefore, come ye out from among them. And when he says ye here, he's talking to Christians because Paul was addressing in 2 Corinthians the church, right? Chapter 1, verse 1, he was addressing the church. So he says, come ye out from among them. He's talking to God's people to come out from among them and be separate. And we noticed that the word separate is the best description for the word sanctification, separation, right, from the world. Says the Lord, and touch not, and touch no unclean thing. We noticed in Numbers 16 and 26 that God commanded his people to separate from the apostate leadership. And he said, touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed with them. You know, touch nothing of theirs. Touching not means separation from. It represents sanctification. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Without sanctification or holiness, same word, God doesn't receive us. Without that, no man shall see the Lord. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Thus saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness or sanctification in the fear of God. The defiled need the water for impurity sprinkled upon them, don't they? We studied that last time. Very interesting. And that was the only way. And we know, we discovered that the water for impurity is God's Word. Humbling ourselves to God's Word. Letting it rule in our hearts and lives, you know. This is what brings us out of our defilement. We've got a separation first. You know, those who touched the dead body were defiled, it says. And, of course, the dead body represents the old man, not being separate from the old man, you know. And we need to be separate from the old man. He cannot rule our life. He does not have authority in this vessel, right? And being sprinkled with the waters for impurity, the cure for impurity is the Word of God. Well, Jesus, you know, we saw in the Old Testament, of course, God was separating His people, but we see in the New Testament the same thing. That was what Jesus came to do, is to separate. The first thing was to separate His people. Separate them from the apostates. And, you know, these people were already, you would say, according to the Old Covenant, separated from the world, but they were still full of the world. And they wouldn't repent at the teaching and preaching of the Lord. So the Lord called His people out of them, which is exactly what He's doing today. In John chapter 10, Jesus separated His disciples from the worldly church of that day. You know, he came unto His own. You know, He came to the covenant people. It didn't become the new covenant until after He came to the covenant people that were, and they rejected Him and that covenant that He was bringing. And basically, most of Christianity today is rejecting that covenant. The covenant is in the blood, and it's in obedience to the Word. In John 10, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name." Wonder what name that is. Did you notice in Romans 6 that we have a new name? We've been given a new name. It's not that we all live up to it. That's the problem. But we've been baptized into the name. It literally says in Matthew 28, baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice they all have the same name, because the word name means nature, character, and authority. It actually says into, you see. So you put on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, don't say you're a Christian and don't take His name in baptism if you're not going to walk in it, right? And so He's saying He called His sheep by name. Wonder what name it is He calls them. It's not a title He's talking about. It's the thing that should draw us unto Christ is His name, His nature, His character. These are what we desire. This is what sanctification is living in the name of Jesus. You know, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? So we take His name. And He leadeth them out. He calleth His sheep by name, and He leadeth them out. And when He hath put forth all of His own. Notice, He separated them. That's a part of sanctification. He separated them from the apostate church of that day. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know his voice. Yes, we need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. You know how we get to know the voice of the Lord? We get familiar with him by getting familiar with this word, because he is the word. He is the word made flesh. So we become familiar with his voice, and we won't follow another, right? And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Strangers, he was talking about, is the leaders that he was delivering his people from. It was the thieves, the robbers that came before him, all that came before me. That was interesting. I mean, all of the leadership of the apostate church of that day were thieves and robbers. They had taken a position that God didn't really give them, that they hadn't really overcome. You know, it says in Revelation, he that overcometh will I give authority, you know. So, actually, God gives authority to those who overcome. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. So in these days, folks, leading up to the time of the coming of the man-child ministry, there's a lot of people who have taken over the church. I mean, this is a repetition of history here. This is a prophecy of the end time. And in these days, there are people who have taken over the church with all the wrong kind of attributes, people that have not overcome to actually be placed there by God in that position. They're thieves. They're robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. And literally, you know, Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets, you know. They thought they were God's people, but the things that they taught and the spirits that they put into people made them more enemies of Christ than followers of Christ. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Jesus came to separate God's people and to make them like himself. And once again, we're going to see that in the very, very near future. The Lord Jesus is going to repeat everything you see here in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. That's what he told me. A repetition of history. And, you know, in chapter 6, let me read something to you. What is it that God's going to do to separate these people? I'm going to go back to John 6 and 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. So the bread represents his flesh. Well, what's his flesh represent? Well, the Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, how can this man give us of his flesh to eat? And Jesus therefore said unto them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. And we know that Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? And of course, we as students of his, you know, he's our master and we are his disciples, which means a learner and a follower. A mathetes, a learner and a follower. We too are to be the Word made flesh. In other words, this Word is supposed to live through us. And that will do the separating right there. When the Word lives through you, it will separate you from many people. It will separate you from the apostate Christians. You know, it will separate you, like Jesus said in John 17. And verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Separate them by the truth being in them. In the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Notice that. That's important. Jesus said, I sanctify myself so that they themselves also may be sanctified. You notice that? In the truth. Why is that? Remember we were talking about how that the only one who could speak a word from God was somebody who was sanctified. Somebody who was basically holy, right? And back over in Numbers, I want to read verse 18. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that toucheth the bone or the slain or the dead or the grave. So these people who haven't been sanctified, a clean person, notice it says a clean person is the one that can do this. Okay, in verse 19 it says, and the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify him. Of course, that's the seventh day is the day of rest, right? When you enter into the rest, which is what? Ceasing from your works, right? And he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at even. And of course, even is when the Sabbath starts, right? So that's when the rest. So notice, you know, somebody who's clean is the only one who could legally sprinkle the water for impurity upon somebody who was defiled or somebody who was not sanctified, right? Separated from the world, right? So, you know, Jesus said, those that came before me were thieves and robbers. They weren't clean. They couldn't make clean what they were not. They couldn't give away what they didn't have, basically. You know, if you can take a true word and put it in front of somebody who's unclean, and when they read that word and they teach that word, it won't come through them clean like it is on that, in that book. It will be defiled by that person. It takes a clean person to teach a clean word. And if you're sitting under somebody that you know is not clean, you're not going to get the pure word. There's no way. It's impossible. Oh, you might even get some intelligence. You might even get some wonderful revelations, you know, but it won't be clean. And the Spirit won't be either, you know. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And God's life was being manifested through the words of Jesus. He was the sower that sowed the seed of the kingdom. And so it could only come that way through him. And it's really that way today. You know, it can only come that way through him. You know, we don't have any need for any man to teach us. We only have a need for the Lord to teach us, you know. And a man who is out of the way, a man who is sanctified, can be used of the Lord to sanctify others, to sprinkle them with the waters for impurity, right? And back where we were in John chapter 6, look at verse 60. You know, of course, he had laid this in front of them. Okay, guys, this is it. You've got to eat my body and drink my blood. And how do we get the blood? How is the blood manifested? How can we drink it if we don't know where to get it, you know? How does it manifest? You know, well, he turned the waters to blood, right? He turned the six clay vessels, which of course represented this old body, you know. He had them fill that up with water, and then he turned it into the wine, which he said was his blood, right? So this, you know, being filled up with this is the most important thing to do first. That was the first sign that Jesus did. It was called a sign, you know, because it was a parable, you know. So we need to be filled up with this. This needs to be a part of us. You are what you eat, right? So we need to partake of God's word like it It's a part of our life, you know. And 1 John 1:7 says, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, what's the light? The same thing is what we're talking about here. The light is the word, too. It's just another parable, that's all. The light is the water, too, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. So the application of the blood comes as you walk in the light. You walk in God's word. So here he was giving them something that some of them thought was impossible. You know, he said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood or you're not going to have any life. And down in 60 it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said unto them, you know, notice he's calling them disciples, right? He said unto them, doth this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? Ooh. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and life. But there are some of you that believe not. In other words, well, these guys were disciples, but they weren't believers. Disciples. You know, there's a lot of Christians nowadays, but very few disciples, very few believers, according to what Jesus called a believer. Remember, these signs, you know. And he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So this is what a believer is. A believer has a gift from God to do too, you see, because faith is our access to this grace that we stand in, according to what Paul said in Romans 5. So if you really got faith, you're going to have grace. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who it was that should betray him. And he said, for this cause have I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father. Well, amen to that. So there was a bunch of people there besides Judas who was going to betray him. And Judas didn't stop with Jesus. Jesus continued on with the disciples at this time. But these people were about to depart. In 66 it says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Notice what the word did here. The word separated those disciples who were following as students of Jesus, but it separated them because they believed not. It didn't separate Judas, though. He went right on in there with Jesus, didn't he? He stayed with them. But there's a bunch of them here that probably would have been big trouble down the road. You know, I shared this with you a while back. I said, I asked the Lord, you know, why so many of these Jezebel and Judas spirits that are raising up nowadays, you know, in the last few years? And the Lord said, I'm doing you a favor. And I said, how's that, Lord? And he says, well, you don't want these people going into the wilderness with you, do you? Well, no, you know, but don't worry. God will have his Judases there. But thank God, not as many as we see around us now, you know. I'm not talking about anybody in the close UBM here, but some people who have passed through certainly are. And I'm going to read this too, verse 67. Jesus said, therefore, unto the 12, would you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They were hungry for the word. They wanted the word. The other guy said, nah, this word's too hard, you know. We can't do this. They wanted the word. They were hungry for the word, you know. Now we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? Now he spake of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him. And being one of the 12. You know, believers are going to be tried. I mean, God took Israel into the wilderness to try them to see who it would believe and who it would murmur, right? And John 8:31 says, Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. So what is the trial here, folks? The trial is, if you abide in his word, sure, you might be a Christian, but do you abide in his word? Notice he said, to those who believed him. These are Jews that believed he was. And yet, some of them were going to be weeded out because they didn't abide in his word. You know, James 1:22 talks about don't delude yourselves, just being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. There are many deluded people, and they don't even think it's possible to be obedient to God's word. But grace comes to those who truly believe, you know, and those people will be able to walk in the word of God. So they were deceived. You know, they even said, hey, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, every one that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abides forever. He's talking about a separation here of people that were considered to be Christian. Don't pay any attention to what the world considers to be a Christian, folks. That's ridiculous, you know. But pay attention to what the Bible says a believer truly is, because that's the only thing that is going to count in the end. The Lord is coming for those in whom the Word is manifested, right? Those in whom the Word has made flesh. So there has to be a separation now, because we have a lot of people that are claiming Christianity and they're not. They need to either come in or get out, kind of like the lukewarm, you know, the sitter on the fence, you know, it's going to be spewed out. You either have to be hot or cold. You know, you either get in or you get out. And that's what's going to happen in the days to come. The Lord is going to force the issue. And in 1 Corinthians 5, he speaks about separating these people. Okay, they've already been separated from the world because 1 Corinthians is addressed to the Christians. So, 1 Corinthians 5:1, it says, it is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even among the Gentiles, that one of you hath his father's wife. Well, I guess that's one of the grosser issues here. But did you notice he said, it's actually reported. Somebody reported this. The overwhelming majority of Christians won't report this. And if they did in some of the churches that they go to, they probably would get ignored and they would know better the next time. But if you have elders who are truly interested in obeying the Word of God, they will do something about this. And it should be reported. You know, some people think, well, I don't believe in ratting on people, you know. Well, then you don't believe in sanctifying the body. You remember what they did? They took up the sword and they put to death those people who worshiped the golden calf. And the Lord said, you have to do this to get to the blessing. So the sword, of course, is the Word of God. You have to use and submit and stand upon the Word of God. It's actually reported. So somebody reported it. Somebody who is interested in sanctification of the body, more interested in sanctification of the body than honor among thieves, you know. You know, there's people that think, well, this is my friend, you know, I mean, but you know, the Levites picked up the sword even against their friends, even against their brothers. The body has to be sanctified. We are not idolaters. There's nobody more important than the Lord in his body, you know. And the body has to be sanctified. And this is the job of everybody. Because somebody reported this to the apostle here. And somebody has to report it to the elders. You know, We have a strange ministry, and we're learning a lot, you know, about how to minister to people over the internet, over the airwaves, and so on and so forth. And There are certain things you can do when you don't see people and not around people. But what do you do when when people come into your midst and they're dirty? They're going to do what it says a little further down here, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. They're dirty. What would you do? You know, we've had a peculiar situation in UBM local in that there isn't any gossipers in our group here. Nobody really gets out there and talks about other people, you know, and it's just not a big thing. And when somebody does come in that is a gossiper, well, they stick out like a sore thumb. And but usually people just don't, you know, we don't want to do that. Have you obeyed Matthew 18 and 15? If your brother sins, go to him, you and him alone. You know, tell that person that. You know, when they want to come and gossip about somebody else or backbite, ask them, did you go to that person? It says, go to him, you and him alone. Did you go to that person? If they say no, well, then we'll tell them go. And if they say, no, I don't think I'll do that, well, then you go. And you tell them. That'll put an end to that. It says here, it was reported. This fornicator who was defiling the body of Christ was reported because somebody probably didn't want the body of Christ to be defiled. I certainly don't. The Lord doesn't. And I don't think we should put up with it for the body's sake. You know, the man who touched the dead body, the Bible says, he defiled the tabernacle. He defiled the tabernacle. The tabernacle is what? Well, God's body in the wilderness, right? His temple in the his portable temple in the wilderness, you know. So we need to be jealous for God, you know, zealous and jealous for God. And, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18 says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear, notice this, I hear, somebody told him, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. You know why factious people, people who through self-will come to make divisions, usually dividing people unto themselves. Usually they want to build their own little kingdom, and they want to get people to agree with them, and so on and so forth. So they do this factious thing. They do this slanderous, backbiting type thing, you know. But notice, he said, well, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it, for there must also be factions among you, so that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. Approved. See, factions can come in order to prove who is approved of God and take away the people who are not approved of God. See, because God does want to separate the wicked from among the righteous. You know, he doesn't want a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. So when God says there must be factions, actually the word is heresies, and it means, an opinionated person using scriptures quite often to separate people unto themselves. You know, a false judgment. You know, it could be slander, backbiting, things like that going on. You know, the Bible says a factious person after a first and second admonition refuse. You know, in other words, separate from them. If you have a factious person, somebody's trying to divide, they're running over here gossiping and they're running over there gossiping and slandering behind people's back, and refuse them. You know, refuse them. Separate from them. Don't have nothing to do with them. Your friendship with a man cannot be more than your friendship with the Lord. And he says to do this. Notice, again, we see, I hear somebody told him. Somebody brought it to the attention of the elders that these people were causing divisions, right? And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see verse 10. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind." Of course, this takes a lot of forgiveness. It takes a lot of overlooking. It takes a lot of not letting anybody come in with faction to divide you from somebody else by talking one thing to you and one thing to another one. You know, if they do that, they're going to separate the wheat from the tares, and they're going to be one of the tares. But the people that are approved will be shown, you see, because they're not going to be separated from something that God's going to do. The wicked will be. They will listen to gossip contrary to God's word. They will break the rules, you know, and God will let them be taken out. And basically, you will be cleansed. You know, we've got a little bit of a revival going on over here because, like I said, the people in local UBM, they're not gossipers, but we had a bunch of them come through here, a couple of them come through here, and they're gone, and they have, you know, through their sly ways, taken out some people. But that's okay. They can only get that which is theirs, right? The evil one cometh, but he hath nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. But that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For, listen to this, it has been signified unto me. Somebody told them. Somebody ratted. No, it's not ratting. It's somebody that has an interest in not letting this go on in the body. Okay? For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I mean, that each of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. And so they were beginning to divide up, you know, holding things against the brethren, you know, probably listening to goofy stuff, you know, that really had nothing to do with nothing. You know, people magnifying somebody else's problem while they didn't have the beam out of their own eye, you know. You know, if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive, right? We're not talking about outward moral rebellion. You don't forgive that. You know, that's what they're talking about here. They're the people who are causing the divisions, these are the people who are doing the moral rebellion, right? He said, is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. He prayed in John 17, you know, that we would be one, like he is one with the Father. And so we want that kind of oneness, that kind of unity. But there will be people who are spots and blemishes that need to be separated. And, you know, God will permit a person with a factious spirit or with unforgiveness, a critical spirit, paranoia, all kinds of things. You let them come and divide people who will listen to that. You know, who will listen to that? So that the ones that aren't carried away will be the ones that God has approved of. See? So, this is a good thing in God's eyes. He permits it. We wonder, why did you let that happen, Lord? Well, He knows what He's doing. You know, He's a sovereign God. He knows what He's doing. And He's still doing it today. I'm going to go back and read the rest of 1 Corinthians 5 if we have time. Good story there. It says, so this man was in fornication with his father's wife, probably his stepmother. And verse 2 it says, and you're puffed up and did not rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. So there's that separation again. Well, this is a legal scriptural separation here. You know, that this person that did this thing, these people that caused this division, you know, these factious people, you know, these people need to be separated from the body. He said, well, I thought God sent them. Well, He does. He tries us too. Are we going to permit it? Are we going to? Is it more important for us to be friends with these people or to have some kind of a greasy grace for them, you know? Or is it more important to us to have the sanctified body? You know, it's more. It should be more important to us that we be holy individually and holy corporately. You know, and when these people come along, deal with them according to the scriptures. And you know, usually it's not necessarily the elders that sees this. There's people out there that catch these people doing these things, and they need to speak up. Because notice, it is actually reported that there is fornication. Notice the last several verses we've looked at was that way. And he said, you're puffed up and you didn't rather mourn that this guy be taken out of your midst, right? I verily, being absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that hath wrought this thing. In other words, there is judgment, and God does put it in the hand of his elders to come against people that do these kinds of things to the body. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you being gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yet there has to be a penalty. You know, it's just like a child who's rebellious, you know. If you don't give them a reason to repent and turn away from it, there has to be some kind of pain involved, you know. It can be a spiritual thing whereby an apostle like Paul speaks a judgment over someone or you know, could be various things. But there has to be, in some cases, a penalty and a cost involved. You can't really take up a stick and hit anybody nowadays, especially you don't do that in a Christian church either, but you have authority, like Paul had authority. And you don't want a person like this defiling the body. You know? So, he turned him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh so his spirit would be saved. This is mercy. This is good. You permit people to continue on with their sinful ways, their evil ways in your midst. They've got no reason to repent unless you do like 2 Thessalonians tells us to do, you know, is make them feel ashamed. You know, they have to feel ashamed for what they're doing. And they need to be reported, you know, if they continue to do it. They need to be reported. And to somebody that will exercise some authority to do something, you know. In verse 6 it says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So you'll have a leavened body, and the individuals in that body will be leavened because of this poison in their midst, right? Purge out the old leaven. There it is. Separate from them. Be sanctified. Sanctify the local body as much as your own personal body, right? Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. See, if there are people in your midst that are full of malice and wickedness, they are causing division, they're following after false things, they're trying to divide people, whatever. You know, there's malice and wickedness, he says, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Some people don't know truth. They know no truth. They are liars and are of their father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. They don't know truth. And they don't have a love for truth. And if you correct them, you're almost wasting your breath. So the next thing you have to do is there has to be somebody with authority to make this separation here. Otherwise, you're just puffed up, you know, in your acceptance of somebody that's defiling the body. He said, I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company. There it is again. Have no company with fornicators. You have to, if you want God's blessings, there has to be sanctification for the corporate body as well as the individual body. Have no company with fornicators. Not at all meaning with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous and extortioners. Extortioners are people that use their position with you as a Christian to plunder you, you know. And with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler. You know what a reviler is, right? A reviler is somebody that's abusive, somebody that's a railer. They speak against other people a lot, usually behind their back. That's what a reviler is. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, for such one, no, not to eat. And what is he talking about, no, not to eat? Well, he's talking about don't partake of the Passover with them, the spiritual Passover. You know, the spiritual Passover is when you eat the body and blood of Christ. Now we're back to John 6 again, right? We're partaking of the body and blood of Christ, but don't eat with people that are defiled. You know, if a person's eating with defiled hands, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, there was that symbolism, you know, eating with defiled hands. You know, in other words, their works are filthy. You don't eat with that, you know. You don't fellowship with these people. With such a one, no, not to eat. Don't break the bread of the Lord with somebody who is defiled. Separate from them. And I know we talk about the Lord's Supper, and it is, of course, a parable, too. You know, we're constantly breaking the bread as we study the Word and share our revelations with one another and partake of the blood, which is the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? The blood represents that blood of Christ that is manifested through our obedience to the Word, as we just saw, right? A reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. Four, what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. There it is again. Put away the wicked. How many times does he have to say this? You know, if you want a holy body, if you want the Spirit of God, the presence of God to be there, if you don't want the whole atmosphere defiled with demon-possessed people, then if they don't want to repent, show them the door. That's what it says. And, you know, these people are not saved as they are. You know that? They are not saved like they are. You know, the factious person, for instance, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. You're not walking in God's salvation if you walk in these sins. And something has to be done to shock you back to face the fact that you've got to deal with this. You either get out there in the cold or come into the heat. You can't be lukewarm no more, you see. So God gives us these rules in order to force people to come to a decision before it's too late, right? And 1 Corinthians 6 says, you know, be not deceived. Verse 9, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified. That means separated, right? You were separated from what? From all that stuff, right? But you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So basically, this thing has to be faced. We have to do something. You have to act upon this. Many local bodies are totally defiled. They're just religion. That's all they are. They're totally defiled because, basically, they don't have elders with the wisdom to do this, you know, to separate from people. They want to have grace and grace and grace, and it's not God's grace, you know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which they received of us. So, there it is again. We keep finding that. See, Jesus taught his disciples to go out and to sanctify the body, to separate from the body those who are not willing to repent, those who are not willing to come to repentance and faith. You know, he taught us to do that. For yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. In this particular case, he talked a lot about people that wouldn't work or whatever. You know, if any will not work, neither will it let him eat, verse 10 says, you know. Obviously, some people don't need to work. They can run after the Lord because God's providing for them. That's a possibility, too. But not if he's providing for them because they're being a mooch on someone else. That's not the way of the Lord, right? And if we go on down to verse, but that's just, what he was saying applies to many more things than what he's talking about in the text. It applies to everything we just read in 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6. It applies to all of that. And verse 14 says, if any man obeyeth not our word by this epistle, note that man that you have no company with him, to the end that he may be ashamed. Wow. And yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, God once again tells us to separate from these people. In 2 John, verse, it says, verse 8, it says, look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. There are many people who start out with us, but if they are not determined to abide in the Word, what did Jesus say to those that believed him? If you abide in my Word, then are you truly my disciple? And he's saying the same thing here. Those that go on but abide not in the teaching of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If any one cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. In other words, separation, sanctification, right? For he that giveth him greeting partaketh of his evil works. So, you know, the church is not the place for evangelism. The church is for the place of the called out ones. That's a big mistake that people are making. Evangelism is when you go out there and you talk to them. And when they repent and they desire sanctification and they come into the body through repentance, you see. The church is the place for the gathering of the brethren. Today they make the church the place for evangelism. Evangelism is out there outside the body. That's what evangelism is. It's not inside the body. In the book of Acts, people were afraid to join themselves to these people. Ananias and Sapphira tried it, and God wiped them out. You know, that's coming again. And there are people that die today because they're trying to join themselves to a body, but they're deceitful. They're not really there to submit to the Lord. They're deceitful, and they're deceivers. So, and Galatians 1, 8, look at that. Verse 8, he says, for though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. That means devoted to God to destruction, for destruction, right? As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. In other words, you know, give him no greeting, you know, invite him not into your house. Be separate from him, right? Stick with the pure and holy word and people that preach it, right? Well, God bless you. We'll carry on with this next time we come together, and we've enjoyed it. The Lord be with you. Thank you for your prayers.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. Thank you.